For our scripture reading this morning, we move on to John chapter 10, verses 1 to 21. Here we have another of Jesus' I Am's statements that's recorded in the Gospel of John. So as I read, let's reflect upon Jesus saying, I am the Good Shepherd. I read from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 21. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He is a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is obsessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" These are the red letter words of Jesus as recorded in the book. He makes the connection of his relationship to his own, to a good shepherd caring for his sheep. He calls them by name and they hear his voice. It's personal. He is their protector, and they trust him. He is willing to lay down his life for his sheep, and they follow him. But he warns them of an enemy who will steal, kill, and destroy. Many of them who heard him would not listen. So we are reminded of the spiritual battle. So as we prepare to hear the message titled Spiritual Wrestling, may we be aware of that battle.
Early in October, they have what's called the trailing of the sheep out in Arizona. They have a parade. They have a shepherd and sheepdog trials. They have a wool fest. I'll bet they're eating mutton too. They're celebrating the shepherds overcoming trials of the 1800s, when in particular the West, but also throughout the United States, Vermont and other places, had issues with sheep, as the Europeans in particular, as the Europeans in particular brought the sheep over and natives took up sheep herding, and of course there was always problems between the natives and the white folks coming over, and then the Europeans and others came over with their sheep as well and kept their sheep and were taking up the cattle's pasture lands. And you've heard of the wars that ensued after that. Some of them, there's one called, the biggest one actually was called the Arizona Pleasant Valley War, a fence-cutting war in Texas, and a Rout County sheep war in Colorado, because the cowboys and the sheep herders just could not see eye to eye. Actually, sheep were called by many the hooved locust, because they would come in and clean up the fields, and the cowboys, of course, didn't like that. We're going to talk more about shepherding as we go, but I wanted to celebrate a little bit about the triumphal entry as the shepherd was prophesied to come. In Psalm 24, lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Selah means pause. Get your cup of coffee, go down to the lake, and meditate on it. And think about the King of glory. He was predicted to come. They were supposed to be looking for the timing of his coming and watching for him and being ready for him. And we're going to find out that they weren't. We've already found out many times in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and now in John. Because what is happening today is very interesting. You can read what Jesus is saying today, and you can get a lot about get a lot of information about the shepherd and get some information about the sheep, and we're going to get that, but we have to stand back. The first thing we have to do when we're reading Scripture is to find out what is happening. Now, we can go in and look at the themes and dig some, you know, like Ruth does, gleaning out of it. We just get some good stuff out of it, but the primary emphasis has to be first. It has to be understood first. What is Jesus doing in this work today? So we're going to read it. I'm going to go through it just a little bit, fairly quickly, I hope. And then we're going to find out, what is he doing and why? Because he had said, I'm the light. He said, I'm the bread. He came, and last couple of weeks, he healed a blind man. You remember? He healed a blind man. And he goes from there. This is actually a couple months later, probably, because you have the Feast of Tabernacles. And then 6 months later, you have the Feast of Dedication. And that's going to be at the end of this chapter. So where are we? We're probably in the middle of there, maybe a couple months or so after he healed the blind man. And yet you're going to find out that at the end of our passage today, they're referencing back to the blind man. They've got this figured out, like, okay, this guy healed the blind man, but we still don't understand who he is, and we don't believe who he is. And that's why we have to tie this back, because Jesus has done the most miraculous thing, healed the blind. And he's come and is telling the people, I'm here so that you can see spiritually. But they still don't see, and that's what we're going to find out. Truly, truly, the words are amen, amen. Get this, he's saying. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. So at some point, the Lord begins a conversation about a sheepfold. Now let's look at this from their point of view. Let's try to do two things. Let's look at it from what Jesus is saying, who he is and what he is. Let's step back a little bit from what we know, right? We can be too familiar with this stuff because we just sang the song, right? He's our shepherd and he's going to comfort us and lead us, and we get that. And that's secondary here. It's important information. But what is Jesus doing? He's talking to a bunch of people who don't believe who he is. And so he's saying, get this. Let me tell you about a sheepfold. They're saying, wait a minute. We're religious leaders and they're peasants. Because as you see in the pictures, and as we've told, that many times the sheep herders were seen, even in the early United States, they're seen as lower class people. And in Israel, they were lower class people. That's why the angels went to them and gathered them and said, come and look at the Emmanuel baby. And so he talks to them about a sheepfold. There's one sheepfold and there's one door. And there's access to the sheepfold. Sheep can come in, the sheep can come in, and the shepherd. And anybody who comes around in another way is not of the fold, definitely not of the fold, and in fact, they're robbers. He who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the gatekeeper opens the door. Now watch this, this is singular. There's one shepherd, and there's a gatekeeper. So this shepherd has access and authority to come through there. He's been given authority over the sheep. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Here is a spiritual authority. This is really interesting because they're going to understand the voice of the sheep. Now, the other day I was looking at YouTube and watching this little girl play the accordion for her cows. And the cows were in a field or two over. And you see this video come up and this little girl starts playing this accordion. She's probably 10 or 12 years old and beautiful music. And all of a sudden in the distance you see a black herd of cows coming at her. And they're not walking. They're running. Because they understand this is somebody I know. And they're probably coming to eat. They're probably coming to feed. Whatever it is, but they get the music. And so she has, you could walk up there, you could sing a song, you could probably play a flute, nothing's going to happen. The cows will look at you like one person, I haven't said this in a while, like a cow looking at a new gate. Like, what is that? They don't know us. They don't hear us. But when they hear the accordion, they're running. And to him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name. Look at this, very individual. He's got a name for every sheep. Now, some of us don't like sheep, and we wouldn't name our sheep for nothing, especially if we have to, you know, clean them up for Passover, right? We don't name sheep. We don't care. But he cares, and this shepherd is a very caring shepherd, we're going to find out. And this is part of the issue. The sheep hear his voice, he calls them by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. They're not out there stranded. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voices of the voice of the strangers. Look at that plural. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. Now look at the heading. What's not to understand? I mean, we get the shepherd and the sheep. I'm not a shepherd. I've never been a shepherd. I've worked a couple times with some cows. I didn't really care for it. That's why I'm here. I'm not a shepherd. I'm not a farmer or a cowboy or none of that stuff. But I get this. You and I, we get this, right? We have a shepherd. We've seen, we've heard sheep follow their shepherd. And there's one shepherd and they all get along. And there's a good shepherd cares for the sheep. That's what's not to understand. The part that's hard to understand is why he's talking to the Pharisees about farming, about herding sheep. See, I can't even get them right. That's not farming, it's shepherding, right? What, you know, it's like we're a bunch of Pharisees here and Jesus is walking and let's go find out. Let's go hear what he's talking about this day. And we go mull around while he's talking to the people, and Jesus knows it, so he brings up this idea of shepherding and sheep and thieves and farmers and, robbers. And okay, and then he's talking to them, and they're going, why is he talking about this? He's a rabbi. Is he a farmer or sheep herder? So they didn't get it. So Jesus again said to them, he's going to try a second time. He's going to get a little bit more specific. And like Gary said, here comes two of the four, of the seven I ams right here. We had the light, the bread. Now he's going to be the gate, and he's going to be the shepherd, the good shepherd. Not just a shepherd, a good shepherd. And he's interjecting himself into this. And so they ought to start thinking, now, wait a minute. He brought himself into this. Where's he going with this? So Jesus again said to them, there's that truly, truly again. Try to get it, guys. I say to you, I'm the door of the sheep. I'm the only way in. And by the way, the gatekeeper says, who can go through Jesus? You see what he just did? The gatekeeper says, here's the door. That's Jesus. There's only one door. Go ahead and go in. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. He says it again. That's twice. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The second I am. The good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is hired hand and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. They still didn't get it. Later on, they're going to say he's filled with a demon. He's insane. Some people are going to say, well, he opened the eyes of the blind, so we're not sure he's insane or filled with a demon, but we don't understand what you're talking about. We don't get it. He's the door, and he's the shepherd. There's a gatekeeper, the door, and the shepherd. Authority, one access. And so then there's one fold. There's more to come, he says. I'm the good shepherd. And then there's this hired hand. There's a guy out for wages. He doesn't own the sheep. In fact, in reality, he doesn't even really care. Because when the wolf comes, now we've added somebody else. We've added a wolf. And there's only one wolf. Now, you and me, we've been around long enough to know exactly who he's talking about. We sang a song this morning, remember? The ancient foe who we endure, his rage. That's him, the adversary. So the wolf is coming in to kill and scatter the sheep. And somebody who is hired doesn't care. And so he sees the wolf and he flees and he scatters. He flees because he's a hired hand. He cares nothing for the sheep. And then the Lord says it again the second time. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. So now he's interjected himself into this scene. And they're still saying, okay, you said amen and amen. Truly, truly, get it again. And I still don't understand. The reason is because they're hired men. The reason is because they're thieves and robbers. The reason is because they haven't gained access by the one gatekeeper and have gone through the one door. They've climbed over the fence. They've climbed over the fence. Now, he said, all who came before me, we have to understand this, that he's talking about the sheepfold of the time. Was there a church at the time? No. There weren't Christians at the time. All right? There was the Jewish fold, the sheepfold. And you can include anybody in there that had faith. We had this discussion last week. How did people get to heaven? How do they become part of God's family in the Old Testament? Through faith. Not by the law, ever by the law. The law was a teacher. The law was partially, the law was in a huge effect. The Lord was saying, this is who I am. I'm setting you apart. You're in my sheepfold. This is how I want you to act. Here's the Ten Commandments. Lord, we can't do that. Well, keep fulfilling my commandments. Keep doing what you can do. I will give you this land if you can fulfill this. If not, you got to leave. You have to leave. But you have to be obedient to stay in the land. Now, so the obedience of the Ten Commandments, the obedience of the law, was for them to be in the Mosaic law right with God. All right? And then those who had faith, when it came to even being scattered later, because Israel, remember, as a whole, gave up the land. There was still a remnant who believed God. That's the fold. Whoever believed in God and the Messiah to come was in the fold. And he's talking to those people at that time. There's one fold, but I'm going to get more. And that would be the church. Okay? So he's saying that the ones who have come before him to try to run this fold, especially through the 400 quiet years and even before that, many were disobedient and, in fact, false prophets. Just read the book of Jeremiah. There's so many false prophets that the Lord is saying there's one sheepfold and so many people have tried to come before me and lead these sheep, but they never cared for them. And if we look at it from that perspective, we kind of get a hint of what the Lord is doing. This is a judgment. Now, in this judgment, we get to hear about the shepherd. We get to hear about the division between the false shepherds and the good shepherd, that there is one fold and all of that stuff. But this is a judgment, and they don't understand because they're blinded. They don't get it. And so there was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? While others said, these are not the words of the one who's oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? That's the problem. Now, in 8:43, we go back a couple chapters, there's this verse. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You belong to your father, and I put the wolf there. You belong to your father, the devil. You belong to your father, the wolf. They have climbed in over the fence. So this is a judgment. Now, back to the triumphal entry. Psalm 24 was a prediction of the king to come, And he was going to come actually into the gates of Jerusalem. And you know that there's a physical Jerusalem, but there's a spiritual Jerusalem as well. And he's telling this earthly Jerusalem, lift up your gates, the king is coming in, the king of glory, the king of heaven. He's announced. He was announced, and he should have known. They should have known. Say to the daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Here in Matthew 21, they are referencing Zechariah, the book of Zechariah. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. These are sheep, right? They get it. No, they don't. Because 1 week later from today, almost 2,000 years ago, 32 AD, I think, they're going to kill him in the same city that they hailed him to come into because they thought he was a hired hand. Not the good shepherd. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. See, he's the prophet. He's not the Son of God. Watch. I mentioned this a couple times before, but remember this. The night before his entry into Jerusalem, when all the crowds were there and he was coming across the Mount of Olives and into the valley, he was coming up and the crowds followed him. The night before that, nobody. Nobody was there. They didn't know he was coming. Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went to Bethany because they didn't understand the time of his visitation. You see, these hired hands, these thieves and robbers, should have understood that, number one, the King of Glory was coming, the Good Shepherd was coming, and they should have understood these times and what Jesus was talking about. But they were wrestlers. What is wrestling? It's to make a soft muscle crackling sound, right? Right, well, how about this? To round up and steal cattle, horses, or sheep. Steal, thief, take, abduct, or kidnap. Why am I going through this? Well, it's kind of fun, but it's leading somewhere. Cattle, sheep raiding is the act of stealing. In Australia, such stealing is often referred to as duffing, and the perpetrator as a duffer. In North America, especially in the Wild West cowboy culture, cattle theft is dubbed rustling, while as an individual who engages in it is a rustler. He's a thief. He's a robber. And that's what these Pharisees have become. It's still happening today, you know. This is in Nebraska. Just down south here, $5,000 reward for some stolen cattle. A lazy A, $5,000 reward, but they caught him. It's still happening. This was just a couple weeks ago, I think. It's still going on. And it's still going on in the church as well. It's still going on in the Jewish culture as well. There's still false teachers and thieves and robbers trying to herd the sheep. But at some point, it's very interesting that people are looking for a spiritual leader. They know something's going out there. They know God is up to something. So they start searching and they run across this person. They run across this teacher. And they may stay there for a while. It's exciting. But after a while, they go, this is not it. In fact, they start looking at this robber for a while and they find out, he's robbing me. He really is a robber. They start looking again because why? His sheep will not listen to their voice, at least for very long. They did not understand, and they should have. Watch what happens here. This is very interesting because in every one of our sermons in John, Jesus Christ While he, most of the time, doesn't even reference the Old Testament, he is making a clear application of the Old Testament. Now, Ezekiel 34 is long, so I've cut it down quite a bit, and I put it in four distinct slides here so we can kind of get through it. What Ezekiel 34 was saying to that sheepfold, that one, he's saying to them, the Jews, okay? The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. They had been given authority to rule, and they yet blew it. Prophesy and say it against them, even to the shepherds. Thus says the Lord God. Now, the reason I underline Lord God is because whenever you come across that in the Old Testament, not all the time, but when you come across Lord God in the Old Testament, it is distinctly Trinitarian. Even though it's not Elohim, it is Adonai Yahweh. And so we're going to see something very interesting unfold in this chapter. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves. You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. That's pretty clear. And in fact, if these false shepherds that Jesus was talking to would have been, let's say they had their devotion in Ezekiel chapter 34 that morning, they might have got it. But see, it's easier to see the sin and the problems with somebody else, but definitely the division. Like, he's not one of us. He's not what I see the Messiah as. So it's easy for me to see his sin, but not my own. And so going on, that's number one. And continue with number one, the judgment against these false shepherds. So this is Ezekiel. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every hill. That's of the planet, of the world. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, because of all this, behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. That's what Jesus is doing in John chapter 10. He's putting a stop, or he's announcing the stop, because he's the good shepherd. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. By the way, food for them. How did they treat that blind man? How did they treat his parents? How did they treat the other people who said, if you follow Jesus, we're going to cast you out of the synagogues? You see, they had been mistreating God's sheep. So the good shepherd, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. Ah, now we get it. The Adonai Yahweh, the man, has come and said he would come and literally lead his sheep. He will search for them and lead them and will seek them out. I will rescue them. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weakened. I will feed them in justice. I will bring them into their own land. I will feed them on rich pasture. They shall feed on the mountains of Israel. Said three times. This is said three times. I've cut a couple of them out. But it said three times he was going to feed his sheep in Israel. Behold, I judge between sheep and sheep. He says that a couple times. Between rams and goats. I will make with them a covenant of peace. I will send down the showers in their season. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and the earth shall yield its increase. I will deliver them from the hand of those who enslave them. They shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. Now, when you meditate on this in the next week, we're down by the river, and you take your Bible, and you're going through Ezekiel 34, you see this judgment, go ahead and read through this judgment, and go ahead and look at the promises that God has given Israel, But then, as the Lord said, he's going to add more. You are going to be a part of this. You can look at this and say, this is how he's going to feed. This is how he's going to take care of his sheep. Now, I might not be in Israel. I don't know where I'll be during the millennium. Hopefully on the beach or in Yankton. Someplace I'll be doing this, but I will be in this sheepfold enjoying what the shepherd is giving to his sheep. Because this is what he promised he would do. Now, the false prophets or the robbers and thieves of today, they say, you see, Jesus didn't do this. Psalm 24 wasn't of Jesus. He came and hung on a cross. He can't be the shepherd or the king of glory. You don't kill kings. And men, even much of the church says, you know, we're bringing the kingdom in. So this doesn't make sense. And yet it does, because he's not done. And he says, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The word is Yahweh, their God, Elohim, with them. And that they, the house of Israel, are my people, declares the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh. And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, Elohim, declares the Lord God, Adonai Yahweh. Why do I put those in parentheses? Because the whole Trinity is right in those two verses. The whole Trinity is right in those two verses. The gatekeeper is allowing the door, Jesus Christ, and the shepherd to come through that authority to save his sheep. He promised he would. He promised he was going to come and rescue the sheep. And these false shepherds, these thieves and robbers, don't understand, because they're the ones he's replacing. They're the ones he is displacing. He's getting rid of them. Now, we haven't got to this yet, but I thought I would throw this in here. This is in John chapter 10. Back to John chapter 10. Who is who, or who's doing what? So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? See, they don't get it. They don't understand. If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe me because you are not among my sheep. They don't get it. The whole chapter 10 is about him fulfilling Ezekiel 34 and others. And he's going to next week in time fulfill the Jerusalem entry. And then, as Isaiah 53 says, they're going to slaughter him for their sins. And they're still not going to understand. They're still not going to get it. This is why it's so important for us to know the Old Testament. However, there's something that we should take away even individually, because he is really very plainly in Ezekiel 34 and here in John 10 and other places, he's very specifically saying, I am coming for people. I am coming to release people from the grips of the thieves and the robbers, from the grips of their sin, from the grips of their spiritual blindness. And that's what he did in 9:38. He said to the blind man, go and wash. And he came back seeing. And the Lord said, you saw what I did. You see me. And because of that, the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him and became one of the sheep. So we just read 24. That's where Psalm 23 comes in. Because when we hear the sheep and we talk about the pasture and all these things, we all reference this. We all of our minds go to this, don't we? And this is because the King of Glory has come into your heart. And the Lord, the Good Shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. Does this sound like John 10? This is John 10. This is what the Good Shepherd does. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of the wolf of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, we thank you for your promise. We thank you, Lord God, that you taught your sheepfold in advance that you would come. And you warned the thieves and the robbers that you would come. But you promised us you would come and save us from our blindness and from false shepherds. And we're so grateful. Of 7.5 billion people on the planet, there are 35 or 40 people sitting here this morning, sheep of your pasture, that you allowed to come in through you, the gate, the door. And Father, you drew us by your Spirit, and you opened up our eyes so that we could see. Thank you so very much, Lord. We don't understand. We don't understand sometimes, Lord, why us, but you did it, and we're so very grateful. And we pray that we can help lead others into the gate. Before it's too late, we pray this in your holy name. Amen.